Well, we have been walking through just what it means over the last several weeks to be emotionally healthy. We've been talking about our emotional health. And we continue to do that today as we think about what the Lord would do. And I want to just refresh our memory that we know that everyone has some type of an emotional wound or scar from the past. I mean, that's part of life and being human. We know that, and this is something that's become important in our understanding, that emotional wounds are harder to heal than physical wounds. And that's one of the reasons why we're spending the kind of time that we are right now, because as I've been praying, I am very, very hopeful of what healing can happen in some of our lives. And that God would bring something in many of us that would be liberating and freeing. It so much fits what Jesus spoke in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He talks about, here's why I'm here, quoting from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Can you say amen to that? And when you hear that, don't forget, Jesus also did something very amazing. He spoke that, but then he also really took all of those words a step farther, because when he talks about to preach the gospel to the poor, see, that could be minimized to just those who are poor economically. But you remember what Jesus said? "I'm here to talk to the poor in spirit." When you begin to realize what's being spoken here, Jesus saying, "I want to get to the very depths of your life. I'm here for a real purpose. I'm here not just to have you feel better, but to change and transform your life." Can you say amen to that? God wants to transform our life. And that transformation happens, and we know that we need to be willing to expose or bring to light those emotional injuries. The fact is, you and I cannot and will not experience healing until we openly, willingly identify the woundedness. And as long as we hide these injuries, we are not going to get emotionally well. Keeping them undercover does not work. Keeping injuries, woundedness, hidden in the darkness, all that happens, it will continue to foster and fester in your soul. It's something that has to come. Jesus, look what it says in the psalmist. It said, "Lord, you have examined my heart. You know everything about me." Isn't that great news? God knows everything about you. You know, and he details, he knows, look, you know when I sit down or when I stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. Can you say amen to that? Everything you do, God knows. Everything you think, God knows. Everywhere you go, God knows. You can't hide from God. Man, that is exciting news. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it. You go before me and follow me. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. Man, that's good news most of the time. But when you're trying to hide or when you're trying to find a way to not be close to God, that's a little frustrating, isn't it? And sometimes we feel that. You remember my helpers who were chained up, and our youth pastor is going to come out here, and he's going to drag himself out here, and here he comes, all right. Just kind of come on over here. I just want to remind you that he's still carrying the chains and the anchors of emotional woundedness, and he's carrying... This has been around for a week now, the unforgiveness. You remember the manure? It's still, there it is, right here. The real stuff. Aren't you excited about it? Well, today, coming forward to the communion table, it is our hope not only for you to receive communion, but for an amazing thing to happen, that at the table we're going to take off the unforgiveness and take it and get rid of it. And then we're going to bring the ministry that's going to release Lee's chains that, you know, this is hard to carry around all week long. And they're going to come off. And there you go. Amen. Yeah, yeah. This is what we hope for. The chains are off. The anchors are no longer holding you back. And the manure is where it belongs. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And because we've done all this amazing work, would you clean up your mess?
Sure, of course.
And that's exactly what, can you imagine, actually, can I say that for a second here? See, I want you to have this image of you're going to come here, and all of a sudden, there it is. And you leave at the altar, and then you walk away. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
See, that's, we'll leave that there. You can get rid of the other stuff, though. There's something very powerful about what God wants to do. And we have, people are going to minister around at least tables and have an opportunity for this. Let me share a couple of things for you that are critical in understanding, because as we continue to understand this, there's something that jumps out of us, and I want you to hear this, that God calls you and I to take and exchange what are the lies of the world and exchange it with God's new truth. Can you say amen to that? It's interesting because the scripture, kind of a negative way of looking at it, but we actually do the negative. Romans tells us, talks about people who exchange the truth of God for the lie, worshiping and serving the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. I mean, it's almost, if you look at that, you realize that's really a warning and an explanation of what happens to a lot of us. We take the truth of God and exchange it for a lie. And a lot of us have done that and are doing it. We buy into a worldview of how we're supposed to look, of how we're supposed to behave, a worldview of how we're supposed to interact with one another. I mean, right now, the world is challenging us on such an amazing level. I mean, when you look at, and I was thinking about this, I was preparing this, looking back over the past 30 years and where we are today. There are more challenges right now today than we've probably seen in the past 30 years. The challenges of how to think, how to look. I mean, just think about marriage, the huge challenge that we're faced right now. In terms of even redefining marriage, even getting married is now becoming a challenge. I mean, so the percentage of individuals who live with each other rather than actually get married. We just, it was exciting. We celebrated one of our own, Phil and Carly got married, and their ceremony was on Friday. Do we have a picture, Janet? Can we bring that up? Oh, there it is. Oh, there they are. Happy couple. You know, and it just was neat because their whole commitment was, they didn't even have a kiss until the first kiss when it was pronounced, you are now Mr. and Mrs. And then, and they did it so cute. That was, it was, yeah, we have video of it. You got to see it. But the, how many people would actually do that? I mean, that was something that I know for Carly, was something that she held on since she was really 13. How crazy! You remember Dick and Lynn? We remember when we did that purity campaign. You were very much a part of that years ago. It was a True Love Can Wait, I think, it was what, or something like that. And Dick and Lynn very involved with youth at that point. And I remember that whole ministry of people committing. Youth coming forward and saying, we are not going to have sex, we are not going to engage in that way until we get married. and there were purity rings and keys. We had all kinds of different things that held on that. You know, I would have liked to have followed the progress of that, because what I know happened in a number of cases is that rather than holding to that, they bought into the lie of the world. Every one of us will do that. We will minimize it, we'll rationalize it, we'll justify it. One of the things that happens for you and I, if we're going to become emotionally healthy, is we exchange the lies with God's truth. And we take on the truth of the Word of God. And then we let God do an amazing healing in our lives, because God wants to heal us. God wants to take and literally heal our brain. You know, one of the more damaged parts of the body is the brain. You know, when you think about it, you get older and you think about all the aches and pains you might have. The thing about it is there's a lot of aches and pains in our brain that tend to accumulate over the years because of all the damage that's done. You know, I was thinking, you know, I talk to people all the time and I think about some of the things that I've been told, because it is so easy to get injured, if you will, in our brain, in the emotions and the mental process and things. I was thinking, how many people have shared with me how something horrible or tragic or mean was said 10, 20, 30, even 40 years ago? I mean, I'm talking to people who were walking through some things and will say, well, what are some of your memories? And then they'll bring up a memory of a past comment that was made by someone important to them, like a parent or a teacher or someone. I'll never forget talking with someone who was 62 and he was struggling with life and his identity. And we just spent some time and just, you know, as his pastor was walking through some stuff with him. And one day I just said, you know, I just know something's really happening. Can you tell me what it was like when you were, you know, going to school and stuff? And he just put his head down and started crying. And he said, yeah, I can't tell you how many times I was told how stupid I was. He said, I was held back. And he said, I feel, and he just started just, you know, open his heart up, you know, I feel like I can't do anything right. He said, my whole life has been really trying to, out, you know, overcome that message. And he says, you know, that was the message that stuck. That's why I didn't go to college. That's why I dropped out of high school. That's why. And he had become, he got involved in a trade and actually was very good at what he did. And actually, and I said to him, you're really a smart person. And he looked at me and says, no, I'm not. And so I began to actually explore some. You know what we discovered? He had a developmental issue in his brain that was a form of a learning disability. We'll just call it that. And we uncovered that learning disability and we looked at it, we examined it, and we started working on it, and all of a sudden the light turned on, and we realized that things weren't really like he had been told. And we discovered that he learned in a certain way, but struggled in other ways. And at 62, all of a sudden, something kind of clicked and took off in him and was healed in him. But I got to tell you, for at least 40 years or more, he suffered the consequences of some very mean things. I see that so often, because someone has said the words, you're stupid, you're ugly, you're worthless, you won't ever amount to anything. I had someone say to me the other day, yeah, I was told I was an embarrassment as a child. I was told I was an embarrassment to my parents because whatever. I've had people say, yeah, I've been told my whole life I'm uncoordinated. I can't do anything. I mean, just hearing those words, I love it when I hear someone testify, yeah, I was told I'm uncoordinated, now I'm running triathlons and I'm a world-class athlete. Can you say amen to that? I mean, I love when you hear those kinds of stories, and in fact, they do happen, but why can't you be like your sister? Why can't you be like your... Anyone ever hear that kind of stuff? Man, why can't you be like so-and-so? And that gets stuck with you, and it gets stuck inside of us, and these become, if you will, records that are playing in our brain that God wants to heal in your life. God wants to help you begin to understand that this is not the music you need to be listening to. Some of you, man, things happen. Kind of like a jukebox. Remember the old style jukeboxes? Anyone remember these things? Praise God. These are so cool. I remember, now don't try to figure out how old I really am, but I remember going to Bob's Big Boy. And they had these on the tables where you could press and get music at the table. Some of you are, oh, thank you, you were there. Hallelujah. See, we would get done with the football game in high school and go to Bob's Big Boy. Remember those days? And have three hamburgers and fries and the milkshake and not get fat? I just smell the burgers now and I gain weight, right? And you would press the button, A2, and it was just all coordinated to a song. And then that record would play. And sometimes when people are talking to you and they say something, that's exactly what happens inside of you. All of a sudden, there's sort of that nonverbal or verbal communication, and all of a sudden, inside of you, the button A2 is played, and on comes the record. And the title of that record is I'm No Good. And the words of that record as it starts playing is, you really don't have it together. You really cannot succeed. You will amount to nothing, because the chorus comes on, you just are just no good. I know it's a real song. Just, you know, relax. You should be playing it right now, right? In the background for our tech team. I'm no good. Right. Okay. How tragic that is. And here's what God wants to do, is change that. That's healing that God does. Rather than the button A2 is being played, I'm no good, the button B3, I'm created by the Most High God. I'm a son and daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's the healing that God begins bringing in your life. Because now we're living out the Word of God. We are now practicing what it means for you and I to see these amazing changes take place. We're living the life of Romans chapter 12. We're right here where it says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, and then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. In other words, let God transform the buttons that are being pushed. Let Him have, if you will, control of this. And you know what? All of a sudden, amazing things will begin to take place in your life. This is a big deal for many of us here, for the change that would take place. God wants to renew and transform the way you think. And here's how, you know how this transformation happens. It's simple and yet sometimes the hardest thing. By the power of prayer. It's the idea that when we come and join together, see, what's going to happen is you're going to come forward to receive communion, and there's going to be a husband and wife or an individual who's going to say, well, before we receive communion, they're going to ask, how can I pray for you? And you're going to say, yes, I've been playing the record, or I've been hurt in this way. And here's what's going to happen. They're going to join with you in prayer and say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, bring healing. In the name of Jesus, take this and deliver this ugliness out of this person's heart and life. In the name of Jesus, restore God's peace. And when you start praying that way, see, this is the scripture, right? When two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action. You see, man, you want God to go into action? That's what we have to do. Do this together. See, some of us live life too quietly and privately, and God's word says, look, when you get together with someone else and make a prayer of it, God goes into action. Matt says, when two or three of you get together because of me, you can be sure there's a guarantee I'm going to be right there. Now, I got to tell you, I'd rather have God there than a lot of other people I can think of. And so what we're doing here is just bringing God in the very middle of this thing. And I love this. God goes into action. God's ready to go in action with you. And then the second part is by the power of God's word, just what we're doing right now. We're speaking the word of God that brings power. The word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. When you bring the word of God into your life, things change. Some of us are reading 180 days again, and man, I am just to read a chapter or two every morning to just to hear. It's like just to sit and listen and comprehend it and digest it. It changes you. There hasn't been a day where something hasn't jumped out, a jewel of some sort, a small thing. Can I share you one thing that, now I'm ahead of you guys. I got to share this with you. I share this with my staff. I'm actually in Exodus now. I did not want to get behind. Can you say amen to that? So I started even before we started because I wanted to get way ahead. And I was reading about the parting of the Red Sea. Remember that, the story of the parting of the Red Sea? Isn't that cool? See, and this was something we talk about the world. It had gotten into my brain. I mean, I know this stuff, but it got into my brain, Charlton Heston. Now, that's probably not the best thing. And then Cecil B. DeMille's version of the parting of the Red Sea. Remember that? I mean, I've been watching that every year of my life. And there's just something about he comes up there, he raises that rod, declares all the winds blowing, stamps it down, and all of a sudden, the water parts just like that. Is that cool or is that cool? That's totally not how it happened. Because what jumped out at me as I was reading this is that, in fact, Moses did what God told him to do. And he puts his rod in the water. And then the scripture says, and God parted the seas, now hold on, all night long. And here's what God told me. That the night of your life, when it's dark, I will part the seas all night long. And when you wake up, you'll walk on dry ground. That's the mercy of God. When it feels like it's dark, here's what God's telling you and I. I'm working on your behalf. Could you imagine being parked, tented along the shoreline there, and you couldn't see anything, but you could hear God working. And you weren't even sure what he was doing, but you heard the wind, you heard the water, and then when the sun came up and you looked out, there was the hand of God at work. Would you see that God works in your life that way? That when it gets dark, God can be working, and at some point the sun will rise, and you look out, and not only has God done a job, he's done it so well, it's dry where you're about to walk. God wants to bring that work into your life, that healing into our lives. And this is by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. We have the most available, powerful resource that you could imagine. If you love me, obey my commands, I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into what? All, say it with me, truth. Say it again, all truth. Okay, that's the word of God, right? The world at large cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you do because he lives with you now and later will be in you. The power of the Holy Spirit is absolutely amazing. I've learned something as well, is that when you have a significant person in your life who is proud of you, who loves you, and who cares for you, your life is different. One of the reasons why a lot of us seek attention from a dad figure, an authority figure. I can't tell you how often just to hear the words of someone saying, nice job. You know, for me to have those people that have mentored me and I look up to, and for them to even know I exist and to say something like, wow, I'm really proud of you. That does mean something. And every human being needs to hear that. Unfortunately, if we don't grow up in a home like that, or we don't hear that very often, then it does injure us. But here's something that I know is the truth of the Word of God. Jesus is not ashamed of you. Jesus is, in fact, has no shame towards you. The Scripture tells us that's why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. The fact is, the way we see ourselves is often determined by what we think the most important person in our life thinks about us. And I don't know about you, but the most important person in my life is Jesus. And knowing that not only does He love me, but He's proud of me and He's not ashamed of me changes everything in my life. And for you to recognize that the most important person in your life actually thinks highly of you, is not ashamed of you. Matter of fact, the Scripture says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He says in Romans 1:8-1, for now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Can you say amen to that? So when we come forward to receive communion, I want you to walk forward and refocus yourself on your future. I want you to come forward and see things a little differently. Because if you want to experience what God has for you, then you need to get off looking to the past and start looking ahead. It's kind of hard to walk backwards. So I'm sorry, it's kind of hard to walk forward looking backwards. Right? Interesting, Job said something that really speaks to this. Let me just read Job 11 to you. If only you prepare your heart and lift your hands to Him in prayer, get rid of your sins, leave all your iniquity behind, then your face will be brightened with innocence. You'll be strong and free of fear. You will forget your misery. It will be like water flowing away. This was said to Job in the midst of a lot of emotional pain and woundedness. Talk about, we all know the story of Job. Here's someone who was really hurt and injured. Right? He lost everything. Talk about grief and injury. And here's the words to Job. Here's a guy really hurting right now. If you'll get your heart right, number one, if you'll give up the resentments, the bitterness, the unforgiveness, and just let it go. Job, I know you've lost everything. I know so much has happened to you, but number one, if you will just get your heart right with God. Number two, if you'll reach out and talk to God, actually begin to converse with Him, not complain at Him, not speak at Him, but enter into a real prayer relationship. If you'll let Jesus take hold of your entire life, talk to Him, let Him be involved in everything of your life, every corner, every closet, every part of your life. If you're willing to get rid of your sin and repent and stop doing what you've been doing that's not working very well, then here it is. That's the premise. Here's the promise. You'll be able to face the world again strong and free of fear. That's what it's told. It says, then you will forget your misery and it'll be like water flowing away. It'll be like that flood that overcame the banks of a river and started to do a lot of destruction, right? And then it begins to recede. And all goes away. It goes away. I'm inviting you to ask God to change your life. I'm asking you to come forward. Remember what David said. Hide your face from my sin, blot out my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore in me the joy of salvation and make me willing to obey. Everything that we've talked about that is necessary for healing, David is saying, Please don't take these things away. Don't take the Holy Spirit. Don't take your word. Don't take your presence away, because I know I need all of those things. And here's the thing. Listen carefully. I'm not asking you to fix behavior. One of the big mistakes I see believers making is they cover up what's really going on, thinking if I just change a behavior that it will fool everyone to thinking I'm really okay. If I just somehow stop doing this, then it's going to be all right. But here's what I've discovered. Just stopping to do something isn't the answer. It's what happens inside your heart. Because when you get a new heart, well, then the behaviors no longer will rise to the surface. They will be extinguished. I've discovered this amazing thing that when my heart changes and God gives me this amazing new heart, I'll tell you what, it's a lot easier to resist all the things that come my way. And maybe one of the reasons that it's so hard for you and the battle is so weary and overwhelming because you haven't received a new heart. And I want you to understand something. I'm not talking just about salvation. I'm talking about some of you just need some heart surgery because a valve is kind of broken. Blood isn't flowing properly. And God says, I'm going to give you a new heart. Can you say amen to that? And so this is what God is going to do here at this table. I want you to remember that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it tells us, for I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. He broke it in pieces and said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. You are announcing the victory of God in your life. You are announcing the fact that he died on the cross for you and rose victorious for you. And I love it because, remember, Paul is talking and he says, I received this from what I got from the Lord. I received this from Jesus. And look at that second part. This validates what we're talking about. It says, if anyone eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily, is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. In other words, if you're not willing to take care of business and let God give you a new heart and you receive this, then what good is it? Matter of fact, it goes on even in stronger language. That's why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you're eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That's why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. Heartbreak can kill you. We know it. Stress can kill you. Guilt can wreak havoc in your life. And God said, you need to come forward and honestly, directly, wholeheartedly deal with these things and let the anchors off, let the chains fall down, remove the manure, and then be free. And like the receding of water, all that heaviness will go away. And what you're left with is the peace of God. We're going to begin worshiping, and we're going to start from the back and move forward. In a moment, when we begin this worship, my assistants are going to come. There'll be 12 stations. There's four in the back and these tables up front. This is something that, let me tell you why we did this, so we could really do ministry. We are in no rush. We have plenty of time to minister as God would want us to. Some of you may come forward and just say, you know what? I just want to receive communion. just would you just pray that I'll stay where I'm? I mean, things might be, you're in a good place. Then let us just affirm that. But some of us may be, it's time to let that secret out. So, you know, there is something I need to leave at the altar here. I've been carrying this around. And then, can I say something to you? Everything that happens here, none of it leaves this room. I know that's not the way the world does it, but that's what healthy people do. You can come here and share something that might be a little ugly, even embarrassing. And no one at this front, no one hearing it is going to go anywhere with it. They know I will shoot them if they do. Spiritually, no. These are good people. I just want you to know these people have been picked because I believe and I know them all well. We have lived together for years. They're trustworthy people. And you can come and share that stuff with them and let them minister to you. These are good, good people. And this is what it means to live life together. So let's make this real. Amen? I'm going to pray. As I'm praying, I'm going to ask the couples to move forward. And then we're going to bring, and Nash, come on out. We're going to start worshiping. And while you're waiting, worship. Let's just worship. And again, the ushers will come from the back. They're going to dismiss you. And then you come. And then when there's an opening, the ushers, we're going to move you through this. That makes sense? Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the amazing changes that can take place, for the work that will happen at the altar. Thank you, Lord, for the anchors that are going to be released, the chains that are going to fall, the unforgiveness, Lord God, that's going to just be released, and what's going to come is freedom and liberty and healing and deliverance and the amazing peace of God, the strength of the Lord. What's going to happen is some real work, real grace, an outpouring of the love of God. And many of us are going to leave the weight behind, the entanglement behind. And what we're going to have is the amazing grace and presence of God. So as we worship you, Lord, let that ministry happen. In Jesus' name. All right, let's begin. Ushers.
Let me see. to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Within your mighty hand, hide me now under your wings. Within your mind. know you are God. Find rest, my soul. In Christ alone. Know His power. In Christ and trust. When the oceans rise, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are King over the flood. I will be still. Oceans rise and thunders roar. I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are King over the flood. I will be still. Stripped away, and I simply come. Longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song. For a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song for or a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours. Every single breath, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all
open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh.
see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see. Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Praise God. A lot of good things are happening. Amen. Let's stand together. Our God is a great God. And we're seeing that happen. Lord, thank you for what you do here. And as we come to just this close in our service, for a lot of ministry and just the word, we walk out understanding how great you are. And so, Lord, let this final declaration be our prayer and proclamation as we prepare to continue into this day and our week.